In September of 1968, I flew into Da Nang, Vietnam, in a Boeing 707 with about 250 Marines. And it was about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. It was overcast, and we had been through all kinds of training back at Camp Pendleton in California to prepare us for what we were getting into. The Tet Offensive had just finished in Vietnam up there in the northern section. And so as we flew in, I'll have to admit, I was scared. You know, in fact, all of us were. We were apprehensive. We didn't know whether we were going to get shot down before we ever even landed. And as soon as we landed, we saw all of these jeeps and planes and bombs on the runway there being loaded into planes. And all of the men with these heavy flak jackets on, bulletproof vest-like. And so just as soon as our feet touched the ground, we had more butterflies. And it wasn't long before we started processing. They handed us all a flak jacket and said, put that thing on and you're going to wear it until the day you take off from here. So naturally, we were conscious immediately that we were in a battle, that we were in a battle zone. We ate some food, and then they took me to my hooch. Now, a hooch is a hut. That's where we live, but they call them hooches. And before I even hardly walked in, they said, okay, now right here next to your, where you're going to be sleeping is a bunker. And so they took us into the bunker to show us where to go in case there was some mortars or some rockets coming in. And we learned to live in that place because almost every night for a year, I was there for 12 months, the rockets and so forth, they were coming in over Da Nang. And so even in my hooch, I moved into another one. And actually had a trap door right by my bed. And I hadn't built that thing. Some other chaplain had realized that he needed that. So actually what it was a trap door right beside the bed, and you could flip it open, and you fell right down onto the ground, but not into the ground. There was a trench about that deep, and you fell right into the trench, and you went in from the trench out from underneath the little hut that you lived in into a bunker. And so, man, I practiced falling out of bed and opening that door into that. And I tell you, I made that trip many a night. In fact, I won't say almost every night, but almost every night you went through that routine. And you became very conscious at night. It wasn't too much to bother you during the day, but at night you had to be on not just on your tiptoes, but you had to sleep with both ears open and your hand on a flashlight so that you could make sure you hit that door when you went through it. The point I'm trying to make is that we were constantly aware that we were in a battle and that war was all around us. At night, from the time it got dark, even before it got dark, they shot flares up into the air. And so for 12 months, all night long, every night, those flares were in the air because the enemy was right around our perimeter. That was a strange war because during the daytime, the enemy was just walking around, but at night, they'd pick up their guns and they would try to probe our perimeter, that is the fence around the base there. Yes, we were conscious that we were in a battle. The main point I want to make this morning is that we need to realize that we are in a battle today. We're in a battle against Satan. We're in a battle against hell and all the demonic forces that are trying to fight against God, to fight against Christ, and to fight against us, his children. Anything that Satan can do to defame the name of Jesus Christ and to ruin our effectiveness in carrying out the Great Commission, Satan is going to do it. The battle lines were drawn in the Garden of Eden when God said that he was going to put enmity between the seed of the woman and between the seed of Satan. And Satan was told at that time that someday the seed of the woman was going to crush his head. And he knew at the very outset that he was defeated. And yet, he went out to war against the saints. And we see this. We see glimpses of the battle all throughout the Old Testament. I can't go through all of them, but you remember the classic one is Job. Satan was seeking to get Job to deny God, to curse God, to forsake God, to turn on God, and so he really poured it to him. Now, he gave him some real blockbusters. Thank God we don't get those type of blockbusters most of the time when we have our family wiped out, we have all our possessions wiped out, and our health is taken away from us. Daniel was in that battle. You remember there was an angel sent from God to answer Daniel's prayer. And there was a prince, a demonic angel, that came and fought against that angel. And Michael had to come to his assistance. And it took 21 days before that angel could get to Daniel to bring God's message. Now, here in the United States, we just walk around and move around. And especially on this campus, we say, oh, what a wonderful place. And it is a wonderful place. But I'll tell you, Satan has his submachine guns on every building, in practically every room, and Satan is pouring it to us. And the catch is, many of us don't have our flak jackets on. We were given a helmet. We don't have our helmet on. We were given special shoes when we went to Vietnam that had steel in the bottom of them. So if you stepped on some of these punji sticks and so forth with poison on them, it wouldn't go through and pierce your feet. God has given us an armor that we'll see in just a moment. But the trouble is, many of us aren't conscious of the battle that we're in. Jesus experienced the battle and explained it to his disciples. Satan was pressing for his allegiance and his surrender there in the wilderness when the Spirit of God led him out to be tempted. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, the thief comes to destroy, he comes to steal, he comes to kill. And Satan is on this campus, and he's trying to steal the truth that we're being given in the classroom, that we're reading in our quiet times with the Lord. He's trying to steal that away. He's trying to bruise us. He's trying to crush us. He's trying to destroy our effectiveness as Christians. He's trying to ruin our effectiveness as we go out on weekends in field education, as we're going to teach that Bible club, or as we're going to that jail. Satan is doing all in his power to ruin us so that we don't accomplish the job that God has sent us to do. Yes, Jesus was aware that we're in a battle. And he said to Peter one day, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. He has desired to just blow you away. But Peter, I want you to know, I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you, Peter. And I'll tell you, you're going to have the victory. And Peter did. Now, Peter fell flat on his face many times. He denied the Lord Jesus. But finally, Peter saw that he had Christ on his side. Paul, what do you say? Are we in a battle, Paul? Oh, yes, brother. You better realize you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but you're wrestling against the prince and power of the air, the powers of darkness. Paul also said, stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Peter, what do you say? Peter would say to us today, be sober, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls. How does a lion prowl? Oh, so cagey, so quiet, so walks so softly till he finds his prey and then jumps, and the poor prey is swallowed up before he knows what has happened. And Satan is prowling around this campus. And he jumps us before we ever realize what has happened, unless we're on the alert, unless we're sober. Even the Apostle John in the book of Revelation tells us how Satan, because he cannot destroy Christ, goes out to war against the saints. And young people, all of us, I would just say this morning, we need to realize that we're at war. We're at war on this campus, and as you go home for the break, there's going to be a battle going on, and if we are not conscious of it, we are going to fall prey, and we're going to go flat on our face, and as Satan sifts us, we are going to be blown away. Now, why is it that we're so often defeated in this battle? Well, I think the first reason is very simple, is that we do not realize we're in a battle that has disastrous effects. In Vietnam, we were very conscious, again, that we were in a battle because we saw the disastrous effects. Remember the first time walking into this place where they brought the men in from the helicopters and looking at a man with his body half blown away with grenades and booby traps. Just to look at a man's thigh and you see half of it just gone. To see a young man who was so afraid that he just took his M16 rifle and put it to his head and blew half of his head away simply because he was afraid. And then standing there on the deck of that hospital ship and out there in the fantail looking at a man that had just been brought in. They called him a kangaroo. Killed in action. And there he was, just flat on the deck. Perfectly, there wasn't anything wrong with him except a bullet hole right here. No blood, but just a little mark right here where he'd been killed. Yes, we were very, very conscious that we were in a battle because we could see what was happening. But you know, if we could just see here on this campus what's happening. There are a lot of people who are walking around depressed. Many filled with fear. Some of you right now are scared to death about that test that's coming up. Well, maybe some of you ought to be. You haven't studied like you should have. But you know, we're afraid. We're afraid of what's going on. We're afraid of the future. We're afraid what's going to happen. And Satan keeps us in constant fear. And we've had our confidence blown away by one of Satan's grenades of fear. Another one is simply complaining, unthankfulness. These are the consequences of the war that we're in. Low self-image. I'll tell you, Satan really defeated me for years with a low self-image. I mean, you're looking at a man that that has a tremendous inferiority complex. I mean, I'm scared of people. Now, you may not think so, but I am. And that used to bother me. I was just afraid of talking to people until I finally realized one day. And I'm still not completely over it. But I'm just not going to bow to Satan's mortar shell of low self-image. Who cares what kind of an image I have? You see, myself is not important. Jesus Christ is important. And he'll give me all of the courage, all of the finesse, all of the polish. I don't have much of it, but he'll give me all I need to interact with people and to accomplish the job he's given me to do. I used to be afraid to stand up and preach. Well, I still get butterflies, you know, as I sat over there. But butterflies or no butterflies, God will give me all I need. When Mr. McQuilkin asked me to take over the job as the director of ministry development, I mean, that man's crazy. You know, he doesn't know who he's asking. I still can't do the job. I just don't have it up here. I don't have it anywhere. But I'll tell you, I'm plugged in to somebody who has got it. So, you see, we're not conscious that Satan defeats us through this low self-image hand grenade that he just keeps throwing at us and throwing at us and throwing at us, saying you're no good. Well, I could go on. He throws another one. Probably he has a machine gun of fault finding. And we're always finding fault with this and this and this and this. And here we are sprawled out, flat on the deck, you might say, with bullet holes all over us, because Satan has penetrated and we have been finding fault with this, that, and the other thing. Well, why does he defeat us? Because we don't comprehend. We do not comprehend the enemy's objectives. We don't comprehend his tactics. We don't comprehend his weapons. Another reason is because we don't know our commanding general. We don't know our God. They that know their God will do exploits. But we can't accomplish great things for God because we don't fully comprehend what a great God we have. Listen, young people, we're working for a commanding officer that's got Satan by the tail. I just have got a real blessing out of the book of Job. Probably sidetracking here just a little bit, but I'll still try to get you out by 12 o'clock. You know, in the book of Job, God says to Job, he says, Job, you're wallowing in self-pity. You've had one pity party after another. And you're afraid because all these things have happened to you. Yes, now God didn't actually say this. I mean, God didn't say, Job, I've turned Satan loose on you. Because Job never did realize that God had turned Satan loose on him. All Job saw were all his problems. But anyway, you remember that towards the end of the book, God says, Job, have you ever considered the behemoth and the leviathan and so forth? In one of those verses, it says, he's talking about he has a tail like a cedar. A tail like a cedar. Now, that's a pretty big tree. Maybe we would say he has his tail like a redwood tree. Possibly he was referring to a dinosaur. We're not quite sure. But let's say he's referring to a dinosaur. You know, these huge dinosaurs, maybe had a tail almost as wide as this chapel. I don't know how big around the thing must have been, but it's probably pretty good size. And God says to Job, you know, Job, have you got that dinosaur by the tail? Job said, not me. He says, well, I've got him by the tail. I've got him by the tail. You see, we have to realize that God has got Satan by the tail. Yeah, we're working for a mighty good commanding general. Another reason we fail is because we don't know our weapons that are mighty and powerful through God. Yes, to the point of even battering down the gates of hell. Another thing is we don't realize that the battle's already won. And all we really are in is just in the mopping up phases. Well, let's just look at a couple of these things briefly. First of all, we don't realize our enemy's power and his weapons. You know, Satan, probably his greatest weapon is penetrating our thoughts. Penetrating our thoughts. He penetrated Jesus' thoughts. And I don't think just those three thoughts that he had there in the wilderness. I'm sure that Satan penetrated Jesus' thoughts daily Because we read that he was tempted in all points like as we. He destroys property. He certainly did in Job's. He causes accidents. Satan can kill people. He did in Job's case. You remember the book of Hebrews says that Satan has the power of death. He causes illness. He causes bodily weaknesses. You remember Paul's thorn in the flesh? We don't know exactly what it was, but he said it was a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And so Satan can buffet us. You know, I thought it might be interesting just to take a little walk over to the dorm. Let's go over to the men's dorm at 6:15. Now, I'll have to kind of follow through this quickly. But let's see what this liar, this accuser, this killer, this destroyer is up to at 6:15 over there in room so-and-so on the zoo, or in the zoo. All right, the bell rings. And man, I'll tell you, Satan's up early. You know, he doesn't sleep through the bells. He's right there, and just as soon as that bell goes off, boy, he's got his machine gun right on you, and the very first thought that comes to your mind is, man, you need your rest. And man, you said, boy, I sure do. I was up late last night studying. But you get up anyway, and you reach over another bullet hits you right here. It says, oh, they must think I'm a child. Here, they're giving me rules about getting up in the morning. You see, whack, he's got you again. But you get out of bed and you reach over there and your hand gets on your Levi's because that's what you just took off when you went to bed last night. And you go, oh, you can't wear Levi's, can you? This is a godly school and you have to walk around in nice pants, you see. And whammy, he's got you again. So you get dressed and you stumble over your roommate's clothes that he got when he got up out of bed. And man, you say, why doesn't my roommate pick up his clothes? And then all of a sudden you get a whiff and you say, I sure wish that guy would take a shower before he goes to bed at night instead of waiting until the morning. And already you see Satan, wham, 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 wham. He's got you thinking all kinds of negative thoughts. But you persist and you get dressed and you get your Bible out and you start to read it. And the thought goes through your mind, I just can't concentrate on this. I'm not getting a blessing out of it. Oh, I think I better go study for that test a little bit. And I'll read my Bible later in the day. And wham, 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 you see, he has you again. Well, I could go through this quite a bit. Let's go over, don't want to leave you girls out, you know. We'll skip breakfast, and two of you girls are walking to class. And you're just, you and your roommate, and you're walking along, and you're not saying a word to each other. But you see this girl up there in front of you, and Satan hits you with, oh, look at the way she dresses. Boy, she sure is trying to impress somebody. And then, whammy, gets you from the other side, and he says, look at her hair. Why, she doesn't have even a sense of pride. And look at the way she's wiggling. Boy, she sure is trying to impress the guys. And all these thoughts are coming into your mind. And then finally you say something to your roommate and you say some kind of a negative remark about this girl to your roommate. She's this, she's that. Boy, pious, I'm sure glad I don't do that type. You see, Satan just moses down. Now, I want to just say, I wish I had time to go over to one of the, over the village and see what goes on there between a husband and wife before the fella gets off to come to school. But I just want to say this, these thoughts come to all of us. Jesus experienced them, Peter, James, and John did, Martin Luther did, and you know, I can even think them right now. Satan just peppers me while I'm standing right here. Boy, you sure are impressing these students, aren't you? You know? I hope Mr. McQuilkin over there sees what a hot shot preacher you are. You know, and I see some girl over here, and boy, that girl really thinks a lot of you. You know, she said something two or three times. You know, Satan, he doesn't let up. He never lets up. And if you think you're going to have a rosy day without any false thoughts, lustful thoughts, fellas, covetous, greedy thoughts, girls, it's not going to end. It's going to be with you because you're in a battle. You're in a battle. Well, I better finish up here. Another reason we're defeated is because we don't realize our defense, our weapons. The greatest weapon that we have of defense is knowing our God. Remember, we read in the Old Testament, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Moses was ready to give up at Mount Sinai when he came down and saw the golden calf that Aaron had set up. He was ready to quit, but he had sense enough to say, "Oh God, will you please reveal yourself to me? I've got to know you. I've got to see your glory." And God put him back in a crevice of the rock and passed by. But it wasn't so much what Moses saw, it's what God said to him. And he kind of put his arm around Moses and he says, "Moses, I'm the Lord. I'm God. I'm Elohim. I'm in control, Moses. It may look like things are out of control, and you may think it is too when your elders or maybe go to the mission field and everything is going awry. God's in control. He hasn't lost out." God says to Moses there at Mount Sinai, "Hey, I'm the Lord. I'm with you. I'm God. I'm in control. I'm compassionate. I'm gracious. I'm slow to anger. I'm not going to blow my top with you, Moses. I'm full of loving kindness." Moses breathed that in. And he got back up on his two hind legs again and started the battle again because he kept knowing his God better and better and better. We need to realize that Jesus is praying for us. If we just knew how much God loved us. Remember there in that prayer in John 17, Jesus prays, "Father, keep them. Keep them." I'll tell you, you're going to get kept. I mean, you're stuck with God the rest of your life. You might as well cash in on it. Because God is going to hear his son's prayer for you. And it's these truths that set us free. Another thing is knowing our forgiveness and righteousness in Christ. Satan is consistently reminding us of failure and past sins. The Holy Spirit is constantly reminding us of Christ's death and the successful life that we can have. You know, I fail. I fail all the time. But you know what? God has finally got it through my thick head that when I do fail, let's say I'm walking across the campus, and let's say I have the lustful thought comes. I don't have to give in to it. And I don't have to ask the Lord for forgiveness for that lustful thought. Satan gave me that lustful thought, and I simply have to resist it. I have to reject it. And if I do give in to it, then I have to ask the Lord forgiveness and get up and get moving. The trouble is, for many of us, instead of marching to Zion like we ought to be doing, we're just kind of going, "Oh, what a terrible sinner you are. Oh, you're a failure. You're no good. Why don't you throw it? Why don't you go on, just quit school and go on home? You failed this test." And Satan just keeps us down, down, down because of our failures. Well, you're going to have the failures, but ask the Lord's forgiveness. Claim the cleansing that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And that's a fact. Claim it immediately. Well, one other thing that has helped me is knowing that my relationship with God does not depend on my performance. It depends on first of all my knowledge of him and my belief in him. And I'll tell you, that's increasing more day by day. God wants me to know him and to believe in him. And because I know him and believe in him, therefore I'm committed to him. That's what God's looking for on our part, is that commitment. Now, God wants us to obey. And if you're committed, you will obey. You know, I'm committed to my wife. I'm committed to that gal. Now, I fail her. Sometimes I'm short with her. Sometimes I'm selfish and think of myself and I don't think of her first. And I ought to be ashamed of myself, and I am ashamed of her. But you know, I'm not going to go around, "Oh, I just failed my wife. I might as well get a divorce. I might as well just leave her because I just fail her all the time." No, I just have to say, "Honey, forgive me for being the fool I am," you see. And I go over and give her a big hug. And thank the Lord, she's loving and she's patient and she's forgiving with me. Listen, God's not any less forgiving and patient with us. Well, let me just close with this thought. Satan defeats us often because we don't know the battle's already won. But Jesus said, "Now is the prince of this world cast down. He has no power over me," he said the night before his crucifixion. "And because I'm in Christ, therefore he has no power over me." Let me close with this little illustration. Just last week, I was having a bad dream at night. And I was dreaming about Satan. Now, I don't know how I ever started dreaming about him. I guess maybe that's why this prompted me to bring this message. But anyway, I was dreaming about him, and I dreamed that he was in a car. It was all painted red and yellow and so forth, and it came careening around a corner and was coming right at me. And I thought for a second, "Man, I better get out of the way. He's going to get me." And then, I'm dreaming now, keep that in mind. I just stood up, and that car coming right at me, and old Satan was out the window there, just giving me a grin. And I stood right up there, and I yelled out, "Go to hell!" My wife reached over and grabbed me. I don't know what on earth she thought I was dreaming about. But she kind of calmed me down, and then I woke up, and I said, "Oh, I wonder if she heard what I said." And she did. But then I explained to her what I was dreaming, and I was telling Satan, "You go to where you belong, buddy. You're not going to bother me." Well, we're in a battle. But folks, we're on the right team. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but they're mighty, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Yes, you're going to be bothered. Satan is going to throw his fiery darts at you all day long, but take that shield of faith. And brother, you can walk across this campus. Yes, they're going to hit you. They're going to be hitting you all day long. But you don't have to succumb to them. You don't have to give in to them. Yes, we're marching to Zion. Get up off your hands and knees. You're not crawling to Zion. We're not defeated. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ.